Welcome to Montgomery Community Church Podcast. Thank you so much for listening today. We hope this message encourages you and inspires you to grow deeper in your faith. If you'd like to learn more about MCC, you can visit our website at mcc.church.
Well, before I dive in here this morning, I want to invite you, if you are new, maybe first time here today, been coming for just a while, we want to invite you to meet the pastors. It's happening right after this service. You don't need to bring anything else but yourself because we have food there for you. And if you've just been wondering about this church, have questions about us, or about anything, we'd love to meet with you today. And so you can go to the Welcome Center afterwards. They can help you find where we're meeting. And I'm going to be there. I'd love a chance to get to know you and to meet you. So I invite you to meet the pastors. And I also want to just join with what Kendall was saying earlier, what John was just talking about. I want you to think about who you could invite to Christmas Eve. And here's why. It's not about just getting more people in this room. It's about the fact that the stats are in, that depression, stress, they're at an all-time high. As people have gone every which way in their lives, they have lost their peace and their joy along the way, and their sense of hope as well. I can guarantee you something. If you go to work every single day, there is somebody in your office, somebody in your workplace that you see on a regular basis that feels like that, and that invitation can mean everything to them. So think and pray this week about who you could invite, because it's all about Jesus. We're going to talk about him on Christmas Eve. I don't want you to miss it. I don't want them to miss it. So I encourage you to invite them. Well, as we get going here this morning, I want us to begin by just focusing on this statement. Karen tells us that the best things in life are often waiting for you at the exit ramp of your comfort zone. Think about that again. The best things in life are often waiting for you at the exit ramp of your comfort zone. So simply put, your comfort zone, whatever it is, can keep you kind of from experiencing God's best for you. And here's the thing, your comfort zone can mean a lot of different things. It can. It could mean your current success or your current addiction. Maybe your job is your comfort zone, or your opinions. You have many of those, and that provides you comfort. Maybe it's a new relationship you're experiencing right now, and you find your comfort in that. Or maybe it's your ongoing habits. But whatever it is, your comfort zone can keep you rooted in place firmly, causing you to miss God's best for you. As you think about that, I want you to think about this. That reality that I was just talking about applies to God's chosen people some 2,400 years ago. See, back in those days, many things had grown comfortable for them. I mean, they had returned home from a long time in captivity. Their temple had been rebuilt. The priesthood had been restored. They had finally given up their worship of all those other idols out there, and they started looking forward to the coming of their Messiah. So things had gotten really good, really good. Comfortable. And in the process of enjoying their comfort, they started accepting things which should have made them downright uncomfortable, but they didn't. Along the way, their priests were not really teaching people about the ways of God. Some of the husbands there were mistreating their wives. Many clung on to their money and were not tithing to God as they should. And some were even marrying outside of their own faith. And so while God had showed his faithfulness to them over and over and over again, they returned the favor by showing their unfaithfulness to him over and over and over again. And so in the midst of their hypocritical comfort, God spoke to them through the prophet. And he said, "See, I will prepare my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty." And this was incredible news. You see, God was telling them that the Messiah, the one they should have longed for and prayed for, would finally come. God's promise to them would finally come to pass. And yet because they were too stubborn to take that exit ramp away from their comfort zones, none of them, and I mean none of those people, would ever see God's future promise for themselves, nor would they hear God's voice again. Suddenly, everything went silent for them for the next 400 years. When you stop to think about it, that's around 146,000 silent nights. But not everything would be silent for them. Not at all. First came the Persian invasion. Then Alexander the Great conquered the world. And as the world power shifted from east to west, the worst was yet to come, because the Jewish people fell into this time of persecution like none they had ever experienced before. And as a result then of this long season of waiting, some lost hope, some forgot about God altogether, and still others were embittered with God, blaming him for their present situation. We do that, don't we, many times? Whenever we fail to take the exit ramp away from our comfort zone and we find ourselves in discomfort, we blame. We blame others, and often we blame God. And yet in the midst of all this darkness, there was hope. In fact, one of my favorite pastors wrote the following words. While Augustus Caesar strutted the marble floors of his palace, pulling the strings of power to suit his own agenda, while Herod maniacally searched out and destroyed potential rivals to his ill-gotten throne, while religious leaders skimmed money from the temple treasury and twisted Judaism to suit their perverse lust for power, some of God's people quietly prayed for the coming of the Messiah. Some of them. In fact, Scripture tells us about one such man. In Luke 2, it says, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel." Now, when you stop to think about it, Simeon could have been like most everyone else in this society. He could have grown comfortable. I mean, after all, why take any risks in your life when many years have passed in your life and you're now kind of an old person? And yet Simeon had forsaken his comfort a long time ago, which is why the text tells us that he was devout. To be devout meant that he had taken a hold of his faith well. And because of that, he waited. You see, he had forsaken his comfort, and he was waiting now for the Christ. So think about it this way. Since Simeon was faithful, Simeon was devout. And since Simeon was devout, he was willing to take that exit ramp away from his comfort and into God's promise. And all of this was possible for Simeon because of where he was looking. You see, if Simeon kept looking at his past or his present, he would have remained rooted in his comfort, whatever it was. But since Simeon kept looking forward to the promise that God had in store for him, he would hold God's promise in his hands. So where are you looking? This Christmas, where are you focusing? On your past and present comforts, or on the future that God has in store for you? You see, when you look forward to what God has in store, your focus is on God. But when you look at your past and present comforts, well, your focus is on yourself. And this has become very popular in our culture. People look at their comforts, at their reputations, at themselves. And that's why Simeon wouldn't have liked our culture very much. You see, we've become a culture obsessed with me. Me. It's all about me, if you take a look out there. That's why we want other people knowing who we are, what we're doing, or what we've done. We want others knowing how many likes we've gotten, or how many followers we have, or how many people see us and recognize us. We want people seeing, you know, how many stars or thumbs up we've acquired along the way. And all of these things help keep us firmly rooted in our comforts. They keep us rooted in ourselves. Paul Stuckey. That name might not mean anything to many people here, but Paul Stuckey was once a famous singer in the 60s band Peter, Paul, and Mary. Well, he once made this observation. I think he was pretty much on mark. He believed that our culture consistently mirrors the magazines that we read. Think about it. We once read Life magazine, which was about all of life, all of God's living creatures. But then came People magazine, which narrowed our focus down to only humans. And then came Us magazine, which selfishly narrowed things down even more to our own group. And this led Paul Stuckey to predict that in the future, the most popular magazine would be called Me magazine. Well, he wasn't too far off, because today you can readily find a copy of Self magazine, wherever magazines are sold. But I'll tell you what, someone like Simeon would never read it, because doing so would keep him rooted in his past and present comforts, not in the incredible gift God had in store for him. And the good news for Simeon was this, that 40 days earlier, this gift, this very Messiah, had already been born. The Bible tells us that in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Even just stop to think about it. Unlike Simeon, most people back then were not ready for the birth of Jesus Christ. I mean, that's pretty much the case for anyone who remains rooted to their past and present comforts. And so it shouldn't surprise us then that Herod was not ready for the birth of Jesus. Neither were the scribes, even though they knew where this Messiah would be born. The people in Bethlehem certainly paid no attention to the miracle in their midst, nor did the various rulers who dominated other parts of the world at that time. Only Mary, Joseph, and Simeon were ready for Jesus, the Messiah of the world. John would later write it this way. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. So bottom line, the very people who should have been the most excited to see Jesus paid no attention to Jesus because they were rooted in themselves. They were rooted in their past and present comforts. But since Simeon had already forsaken the exit ramp of his comfort, the Bible tells us that it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. Now, I want us just to consider a possible lesson here for all of us in this. That when you're busy looking forward to what God is about to do, it changes pretty much everything about you. I mean, it changes your perspective. It changes where you're looking. And it changes your normal routines. Everything changes. And that's why his routine started to change. I mean, each day now, Simeon would go to the temple. And he would watch all the people coming there, all the families, all the babies. And he would anticipate. And as he did so, he kept asking himself, I mean, what signs should I be looking for? And how will I recognize which child is actually the Holy One? And what should my response be when I actually see him and recognize him? And here's the thing. As Simeon waited, he wasn't obsessively looking at Instagram. I mean, nor was he consumed with seeing how many people liked his most recent post. He stood faithfully at his post, at the temple, patiently waiting and joyfully expecting what God was about to do. So how about you? Where are you looking? Are you waiting for God's move in your life? Are you rooted in your past and present comforts? Where are you looking this Christmas, really? I encourage you to take your cue from Simeon, because when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God. Now, I don't know if you noticed this theme or not in the Bible, but here's the thing. Whenever someone fully embraced Jesus, the coming of Jesus, it was followed by a song. It was. After Elizabeth told Mary she'd give birth to the Messiah, the Savior of the world, well, Mary sang an incredible song. After Zechariah learned he would have a son who would prepare the way for Jesus, Zechariah sang a song. And now after seeing the promised Messiah with his own eyes, Simeon sang a song as well. Here's the song that he sang. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. You see, in this incredible moment, in this amazing song, Simeon first praised God for fulfilling his promise to him. This was a very personal response. And then suddenly, secondly, Simeon praised God that the Savior had been provided to all God's people everywhere. You see, since Simeon had taken the exit ramp away from his comfort zone, he was able to take the on-ramp to the salvation that God had in store for him and for all those who would believe. That's why his eyes had seen salvation, and he had held salvation in his arms. So where are you looking? What have you seen? You see, in the end, it all comes down to Jesus, the manger, and me. Will I seek more of Jesus and less of me? Will I humbly seek his manger instead of my own space and pride-filled place? Friends, the best things in life come at the exit ramp of your comfort zone. The comfort zone of your choices, of your pride, of your sin. But when we finally leave it, when we finally leave that comfort zone behind, something radical happens. Something amazing happens. We are able to see him. And we're able to know his salvation. Think about it this way. I must leave what I know to know Jesus. I must leave what I know to know Jesus, because the comforts we know keep us from seeing him. I must leave what I know to know Jesus. I mean, this is exactly the lesson Christ's own disciples learned some 30 years later when Jesus said, "Come, follow me." And in order to follow him, they had to leave all that they had known behind. They did. They would leave their jobs behind. They would leave their friends behind. They would leave their family behind. They would leave all they had known in order to know him. And the same holds true for everyone who really contemplates Jesus. The same holds true for me. The same holds true for you. And the same holds true for a guy that I met. His name was Saad. I mentioned him once before in the years past. Saad was a 4-star general in Saddam Hussein's army. And in his post, he refused the order to kill a large group of people in the village made up of women and children. He refused the order, so he was imprisoned, and he was tortured there. He escaped, ran away across the Middle East there, eventually found his way to America and then to Lansing, Michigan, where I used to be a pastor there. My wife, Carol, she was out doing what she would do and kind of helping and serving people in the community, and it's there that she met Saad. And she wanted me to meet him, and so I went to his home. And every Christmas is a time when I remember Saad. I do. I remember going to his home. Saad was this Muslim man who was also binging on alcohol. He was an alcoholic. And when I first came to his home, I mean, he was so filled with anger and he was drunk, but he's trying to tell me his story. And in his anger, he kept hitting me with the backside of his hand over and over again. But I came back over and over again, kept meeting with Saad in his home. And then we eventually invited Saad to church. And so every Sunday morning, either I or Carol or both of us would pick him up, take him to church. And on the way home, we would have more conversation with him, and he always had his questions. Well, eventually, I came to the point where I thought, you know, I think Saad might be ready to, like, make a decision to actually follow Christ, to leave all he had known behind. But I wasn't sure because of the language barrier. So I asked a guy from our church who was also born in Iraq, who had come to faith in Jesus Christ as well some years earlier. And because of his faith, you know, everyone was rooted in the Muslim faith. His name was Muhammad. And so Muhammad came with me, and he served as my interpreter as together we led Saad to the Lord. That next weekend, it was Muhammad who baptized Saad in front of the entire congregation. It was an incredible time of worship. But for Saad to come to know Jesus, he had to leave everything he had known behind. He had to leave his faith, Islam. He had to leave his past practices, all of those practices behind. What do you need to leave behind to truly know him, to truly follow him? I think a lot of Christians think, you know what, I'm following him, but you know, I'm also kind of following me. And I'm trying to work him in with me. No, we have to leave what we know behind in order to know him. So what do you have to leave behind? And for some here today, you've never really contemplated that. to really follow him, to really know him. The Bible would say in order to do that, the Bible would encourage you to embrace the humility, really, to look beyond yourself and look to a God who made you and who loves you, who's calling you. And then, like many in our society, perhaps admit that your selfish, me-oriented mindset is keeping you from seeking the mindset of Jesus Christ. And then the Bible says to repent. To repent of your selfish and sinful pursuits so you can pursue the way of Jesus. And then once you start taking those first steps, we'll deepen your relationship with God and with others because Christ calls us into community. You see, Simeon left the exit ramp of his comfort zone to find the greatest thing in his life, Jesus, and the salvation that only Jesus could provide. This morning, I want to ask you, will you also leave your comfort zone behind in order to know him? Well, everyone just close your eyes right now. And if this is the first time for you, you've never considered this before, I want you to encourage you to mark today as the day you would say a prayer just between your heart and God's heart, silently, maybe just repeating after me. You'd pray a prayer that sounds something like this. Dear Jesus, I know that I'm far from you. Because of my sin, I've rejected your salvation many times. So please forgive me. I now place my hope and faith in the work you accomplished for me on the cross. I now pledge to follow you, live in a relationship with you, and obey you all the days of my life until the day you call me home to worship you forever. Oh, Jesus, we thank you that 2,000 years ago, you were born in such a humble way for such a pride-filled people out of your incredible love for us. Lord, you know the truth in us that we are just drawn to so many things in our world that we think is going to give us hope. Many of us have even bought into the fact that we think that, you know, that hope is found somehow in us and you know, in our world and making our world the best it can possibly be and letting other people know how good our world is. And in all of those pursuits, we found nothing but emptiness. Like many have across our country, depression, stress, lack of joy. Jesus, here today, we gather, and all those who are online, we gather to proclaim the truth that there's only one name that we can find hope in, the name of Jesus. That at the name of Jesus, this most beautiful name, we can know life and hope and peace, salvation, and joy, never ending. Lord, help us to leave all that we know in order to know there is nothing more beautiful than following you, nothing more beautiful than worshiping you, and nothing more beautiful than gathering around your name, the name of Jesus. We pray all this, Lord, in your name, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thanks for listening. You can stay connected throughout the week by following Montgomery Community Church on Facebook and Instagram. For more information about MCC, visit our website at mcc.church.